It's been a good time. Amen. I was thinking this morning with service, and some of these men were saying, and I'm not going to talk about cleaning bathrooms or anything. About 23 years ago, I had been married to my wife for probably about 6 months or so, and she married me, even though I was in a wheelchair. That's not what she saw. And she went off to a Bible-believing Baptist church, and I followed her down to that Bible-believing Baptist church. And I didn't go down there because the Lord was there. I went down there because she was there. And but I followed her down there, and I got under some really good men who knew what they had. I'd been saved at a young age, but I'd been out of church for a while. And they knew what they had there, and they didn't abuse that. And they didn't try to pound doctrine into my head. In fact, the first church I ever went to, I took an NIV into a King James Bible church. And so I thought, you know, man, they didn't throw me out. So that was a good thing. And they had patience with me. And the Lord dealt with me about preaching those years, many years back. And I preached a little bit there. And I led song leading. And as they needed somebody to do something, they would ask me to do it, and I would try to be faithful in whatever it was. I was just happy to help out. I had a job working for a police department, and I was used to going to my job and having some authority there and in a management role. But in church, I was just happy to be a servant, to follow along with that theme. That church had to close its doors. And we left and went to another church, the church that we're now, at now, Miltonville Baptist Church. And it had an old preacher there, and I say old, and I don't mean that in the sense of being derogatory towards him. I mean that in a sense of he was a father figure to me in a lot of different ways. And he saw who I was and what I was, and I could have come there and said, "Hey, preacher, I'll do whatever you want to do," but I didn't, and he was happy just to let me sit. And I was happy to sit. I got into the jail ministry and went with the men and really enjoyed doing that. And then one day something tragic happened at our church. His daughter-in-law, the pastor's daughter-in-law, tragically died at the kitchen table. And she had done the bulletin for years and years and years. And she put her special touch on it, and it was her thing, her work in the church. And I was approached in the parking lot by the assistant pastor, who then was my best friend, Jesse Combs. And he said, "The preacher would like to know if you would like to do the bulletin." And I thought, wow, that's an honor. I mean, we're still hurting and we're still reeling. The song leader's wife, you know, I felt very uncomfortable taking that position. But I prayed about it, and I said, "Lord, I'm going to do this the very best I can." And the first thing I did is I did nothing different. I just simply went in behind what she had done and just continued to do that. And I tried to make it look exactly the way she had done it. And then as time permitted and as the Lord allowed me, I began to put my own touches and my own time into that thing. I was very faithful to that ministry, And I believe I did that ministry for about 12 years. And sometimes I was a little late with it, but most of the time I was on time with that thing. And as Pastor Combs would need things, I would provide them for him. As I started the nursing home ministry and as I started to do some of these other ministries, I found that I was getting busy, and I would pray and I'd say, "Lord, can I get out of this thing? I really don't want to do it anymore, and my heart's really not in it, and I'm sure that no treasure's being laid up because, Lord, I've got it all laid out on the computer and I'm just pressing a button. Can I get out of this thing?" And the Lord would always say, "No, you're fine right there. I want you to continue to do what you're doing." Listen, I had no vision of what the Lord was doing in that work until this morning. We're driving in here and the Lord brought it to my attention. He said, "Hey," he says, "you remember that bulletin you were doing that you hated to do, and you hated matching colors up, and you never did get the months right, and sometimes you didn't even have the years right?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Who'd I turn that over to?" And it dawned on me. Last year, after we left this meeting, I approached Brother Jesse, and I said, I've been praying about it, and I said, I think it's time that I leave the bulletin. I said, I've prayed about it, and I said, I have peace over that thing. And Brother Jesse, I'm going to step down from doing that. And I actually told that to Brother Jesse through tears. Not because I didn't want to get rid of it. I was glad to get rid of it. But I was scared to death that I was leaving my pastor hanging or that I was letting him down. He encouraged me. Well, it's all right, brother. I understand you have a lot going on. He made it. I could tell there was a little bit of hurt there. Not a bad way. Maybe just he and I worked so close on it. Maybe he saw that the fellowship there was going to be different. But then he prayed about it, and the Lord spoke to his heart, and he found a new person to take over the bulletin. And it was the daughter of the woman who had it before. She had grown up, and she had a family of her own. And she'd been in church, and she'd been faithful to that family. See, that was never my work. I was just a caretaker to that thing. Brother, I wasn't even going to preach. This wasn't even the part of the preaching. I was just a caretaker of that thing. God waited until she was ready. And he looked down and he said, can I just wipe my hands off on you as an old rag? And you just do that for a while? If you have a Bible this morning, take it and turn it to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to say that I appreciate the men that preached. Woo! I'll tell you, I've never come here and not gotten something and gone back and just meditated on it for a couple of days. Amen? Amen? And it was good. And I could take time and say something about each and every one, but all I can say is I thank God for you. I thank God for this pastor. He's really changed my ministry in a lot of ways. Sometimes I've had to take a good hard look at things that I've done in the past and had to take a look at maybe a new way that he was showing me. And I had to put some stubbornness away, put some pride away, and see that other men might be right. You can't always just say, well, bless God, I'm right. Sometimes you have to say, bless God, I'm wrong. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for what you did on the cross of Calvary, for that precious shed blood. Lord God, I thank you that you don't leave sinners. Father, just hanging out there. You give them a chance, Lord, to get back to you. I thank you for that. I thank you for just the mercy and the grace that you've shown me. Lord, I pray that you just bless this church. Father, I pray you come down and meet with us, Lord. We need you. I don't have anything this morning, Lord. I just pray that you use me for your honor and your glory, Lord, that I decrease and you increase. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. You know, when you become a preacher or you become a pastor or you do any kind of a work whatsoever, when you get to the point where you can't see anymore in what you're doing, you've got a lot of problems. Because when you can't see, you start running into things. I know in the nursing home, we deal with a lot of people that have cataracts, and they talk about how it's cloudy. And then they go, and then all of a sudden those cataracts are lasered off or removed, and all of a sudden they can see. A lot of times they'll do one eye at a time, so they can close one eye, and it's just like, wow, it's just brand new vision. Amen? I want to talk to you this morning. And I mainly want to talk to men about this. And I want to talk to you this morning about some pride. Some pride. Pride in the ministry. Pride in any kind of work that you do whatsoever. Amen? You know what we do? We go through our days. What we do is we get up in the morning and pretty much the first thing that we do is we put on a vest of pride. And it's a bulletproof vest. And what we do is we say, nothing can hurt me today. You know why we do that? We've got experience with pain. My boys, they don't really put on a vest of pride yet. You know why? They haven't been hurt that much yet. They're still real tender in that area. But as older men, especially men in the ministry, you know what we do? We get up in the morning and we put on a vest of pride. And someone comes through the door and we recognize them. We tighten up that vest and we get ready for them. That guy's been in my church for about 10 years and he's never done anything to help me. That guy's never held the door for me one time. I come wheeling up to the door. That guy's never held the door. Just slams it in my face. Amen? We put on a vest of pride. I'm not going to let you hurt me today. I'll help you any way that I can. But I'm not going to get too close to you because if I do, you're going to hurt me. Now, I don't know him. He might not. But I'm going to put a vest of pride on. And you go into any kind of work, I don't care if it's the bulletin or it's a nursing home ministry or if it's pastoring a church or if it's driving a bus or if it's working with the teens, if you go and you put on a vest of pride, God's never going to let you have the clear vision you need to deal with people in the way that they need to be dealt with. You'll never see them because you'll always have that vest sucked up tight. When I worked for the police department, we went through the law change and all the officers started wearing vests. You'd have the young men would come out of the academy and they'd all have their vests because, you know, to them the vest looked cool and everything and it, you know, gave it a military rugged look. Well, the old guys, man, they hated it because it was uncomfortable in the car and they just hated it. Messed around with the gun belt and everything that they'd done in the past. Amen? But those young guys, but here's the difference. I'll tell you the difference. You get out policing in the world, and those old guys, they'd be up there, and they'd be talking to you and slapping you on the back, and they'd be friendly with you, and they would get to know you, and they'd get to know the community, and they'd get to know the place they were at, and they became a part of that. But those guys with the vest, they'd have that thing sucked up, and they'd walk into a room, and you knew they were there, and they commanded attention. They wanted the authority of that thing. You go into any kind of work, you go and do anything with that kind of an attitude, and God will never use you to minister to people. Amen? Listen, there's men in this room that I've seen preach, and they could peel the paint off the walls and put you under the floor in conviction. Am I right? I mean, amen? They know how to preach. It's almost sometimes you got to look at that thing and go, man, are they running off of talent instead of inspiration? Amen? That bulletproof vest of pride that I wear most of the times is stripped off of me before the day ever gets started. And the way that thing... I have to move over here or my wife will mess me up. I'm able to dress myself. I'm able to care for myself. But I have a wife that takes wonderful care of me. Now, I want you to remember what I said. She knew what she was marrying. She's not staying in a marriage that she was something that she was saddled with. She knew who I was when we got married. She saw me for what I was. In other words, she didn't see me at all. Not physically. Amen? The other day, Friday, we're getting ready to come here. We get up pretty early to get everything ready. And we're staying in our camper. And she's over at the mirror. And she's doing her hair and she's doing all that kind of stuff. And she's trying to get ready and I'm trying to keep out of her way. And I just woke up and I'm looking around to make sure that I had everything that I needed. But there was one thing that I forgot to lay out because we got back so late. I didn't have a t-shirt. And my t-shirts were up higher than I could reach. And I had to stop my wife and I had to say, hey, I hate to bother you this morning. Can you come over here and can you reach me a t-shirt? Now, to some of you, that seems like probably not much. But I have to strip away about half that badge of pride just to be able to say those words. Hey, would you help me for a minute? She makes me some coffee. We get everything ready. And we go out to the car. And I've got my truck. Some of you have seen it. The seat comes out and it comes down. And it's got an arm that picks my chair up and puts it in. But we didn't have enough time for me to set this chair up for it before we left. And so she knows automatically that she's got to deal with my chair. And I believe the other day she was, or today, she's wearing a white skirt. See, I think about those things. She's going to have to take these wheels off. And I know that. And another part of that badge gets... And I say, honey, be careful. That chair's greasy. And I start to rise up in that seat. And as the seat turns to go into the cab of the truck, the one part of my shoe gets caught. And it falls down onto the ground. I say, honey, I already know you're already in the truck. Is there any way that you could hop out and get that shoe for me? I take another part of that bulletproof vest and I rip that off. This isn't a one-time occurrence. These things happen. But what I'm telling you is this, is that a lot of times by the time I get to the nursing home or by the time I get to where I'm dealing with somebody, I've had so much of that stuff stripped off of me that I'm able to see people with some vision, with some clear eyes. And I'm able to see exactly what they're dealing with and the pain that they're dealing with. And I might not know the details, but I don't have to know the details to recognize hurt and pain and depression. I always wondered when I'm reading here about Eli and how blinded he was. He knew what was going on with his sons. There had to have been some pride there that he put on there. Those are my boys. He kind of had to probably turn a blind eye to that thing. There's no way he could have been doing the job for the Lord like he was supposed to be doing. It says, and it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place. Oftentimes we'll get into a ministry and we'll be into that thing for a period of where all of a sudden we feel real comfortable in that thing and we throw it up into cruise control. And we stop with the vision. And we go, this is good enough for me. I'm good enough right here. I'm good at this. Many of you, and I mean this with as much respect as I can possibly say, many of you in this room are scared to death to step outside and do something different. Not for the sake of being different, but for the sake that the Lord's been trying to get you to go. Just take one more step, take one more step, but you go and you say, nope, I'm comfortable here. I've got my pride on. I'm good. It looks good here. And the
come on, brother. Come on.
Amen? The Lord said, hey, what do you think about those Navajo? I said, well, Lord, that's a pretty good ministry there, Lord. Started thinking of the men that's been in that thing. He said, well, what about you going out there? I said, well, Lord, whew, I don't know, Lord. I'm pretty comfortable here in the nursing home ministry. The Lord began to show me how Philip was having a good time down there. And the Lord said, hey, I got a job for you. Could you leave the revival meeting for a little while and could you run up the road? I got a man up there I'd like for you to go see. I said, okay, Lord. I said, Lord, all right, that sounds good. I'll think about that. That sounds pretty good, Lord, but I'm not sure I can physically do this. And the Lord began to deal with my heart, and He showed me how I could probably physically do this thing. And I said, okay, Lord, would you convince my wife? Because she's going to be worried. Amen? And He began to work with her, and He began to deal with her. And I just want to show you, and I won't be long, I just want to show you one of the simplest things, because as I started to put on a pride on this thing of going out there to protect myself so I wouldn't be hurt, or I wouldn't be disappointed, or I wouldn't have any kind of problem like that, the Lord began to deal with me. But so did the devil. And the devil said, hey, that camper you have out there, there's no real way of you to take a shower in that thing. Now, I know this is real basic. This isn't polished preaching. But this is reality. Alright? There's no real way for me to take a shower in that camper. So I began to look online on things that I could do, and I'm praying about that thing, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm willing, I'm ready, but you're going to have to help out. In fact, you're going to have to help out so much that I'm just going to put it all in your hands. So, Lord, if you want me to go, I'm there. If you don't want me to go... And so I found online there was some medical-grade equipment that you could get that was a portable type shower thing. This is almost embarrassing to talk about, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so, being a retired veteran, I called the VA and I said, hey, I said, I want to go out west. I want to go on this mission trip. I want to go out there. I've got to have this shower. And I went over the reasons that I needed this thing. And the lady says, well, to be real honest with you, those are for homes, and we don't really have a policy for this. And she said, there's not really a whole lot that we can do about it. She says, I'll look into it. I said, okay. Now, I'm used to being in the government system there with the VA, and I know that those things take 6 to 8 months, and you know, sometimes you hear back, sometimes you never do. And so I began to look for other alternatives. So I go out to about 3 days later, I'm mowing the grass, and my son comes out, and he goes, hey, did you get a big screen TV? And I said, no. He said, well, there's a huge box on the front porch. So we go down and look there and crack that thing open, and it is a medical-grade portable shower. And we named it Showers of Blessing. Amen. Listen, it's now possible for me to go. Amen? I don't know what I'm going to do out there. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with me out there. I'm going to go, number one, I'm going to go out there and be under a man. I'm going to go out there and be under Brother Wilson Calvin. You say, what are you going to do for him? What are you going to show him? I'm not going to show him anything. But I'm going to be right there as he's working. And he can just wipe his hands off on me. Amen. Amen? And I'll do whatever he wants. Listen, the word of the Lord is precious today. We went to the nursing home the other day, and there were folks in there from this church. And I'm telling you what, they're almost... They say that they're just doing a little work. Man, they're sold out on that thing. Most of them have already had the pride ripped off of them. Can you have the pride taken off of you long enough to go and minister to somebody? It's not easy. You have to swallow it. As a man, you have to swallow it. Dr. Peacock was coming to our church to preach a revival. And the Lord had been dealing with me on some things. And I had to go to the altar before he ever came into town, before we ever had revival at our church. I had to go to the altar and I had to say, Lord, I've been wrong for a long time. I've been prideful for a long time. I've thought that this ministry, or work, or school, or studying, or going to church, Lord, all this time I've thought this was all mine. And it was all stuff that I was doing through you. But none of it was. It was stuff he was doing through me. Amen? Listen, I'm not talking to pastors. I'm just talking to preachers. Don't be busy just for busy sake. But tear some pride off. And after you've tore that pride off, then say, Lord, what will you have me do? Amen? Thank you, brother.